This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Dude, check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Welcome to another Patriots.com Ross Report podcast. I'm Lori Baranski, and today is January 4th, the first roster report of 2008. We have Andy Hart, Tom Casale, and Paul Perillo. What's been going on, guys?
Well, Lori, thanks for coming back to work after your extended holiday break.
Oh, you're just jealous.
Yeah, that's probably true. But the big news here at Gillette Stadium, there were rumors circulating. The Baltimore Ravens and Atlanta Falcons had issued requests to speak with Josh McDaniels about their head coaching vacancies. And Thursday night, there was a statement released from McDaniels and the Patriots saying, quote, "I am very grateful for the chance to interview for NFL head coaching positions, but I have decided not to pursue those opportunities at this time. I plan to focus all my attention on our postseason preparation." That indeed is the short statement, Josh McDaniels turning down the opportunity from the Ravens and the Falcons. Paul Perillo, what do you make of this?
Well, it's interesting. I think you can go in a couple of different ways, but I think first and foremost, I think McDaniels wants to make sure he's concentrating on the task at hand here and devoting all his attention to that. I was a bit surprised, however, that even if he wasn't necessarily interested in taking a job at this time, that he didn't try to see if he could get himself through the interview process, because I believe that that experience could be beneficial down the road. Now, one of the things that you and Tom brought up when we were talking before, does this at all maybe lend credence to maybe he's the guy in waiting? You know, here in New England.
That's the popular thing these days. You know, we see it at Florida State with Jimbo Fisher, and, you know, it started even way back when with Belichick and Parcells in New York. It seems to be one of those things where
you... Except New England has a good coach.
But a good coach who maybe on, you know, the historic season, 19-0, that's enough. We speculated early in the season. There were rumors, rumblings. Could this be Belichick's last year? People wanted to know, are they loading up for a last run? Those sort of got squashed when we found out that he had an extension through 2013. But because he has an extension doesn't mean he can't retire. You can retire at any point.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's at least worth considering the possibility that somewhere Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick, because it's clear that Josh McDaniels is going to be the Belichick protege, like the perfect example of his coaching tree, with how quickly he came up from the lowest of levels like Belichick did all those years ago with Marchabrota. It's clear McDaniels is going to be one of those guys. Is it possible they've had that discussion? We know McDaniels gets along with Brady very well, great relationship, that Bill said this year, next year, whatever it is, you're the guy. This is your team at some point. The keys are going to be yours.
Maybe. I know you guys don't think this, but I've brought it up before. I just think maybe sometimes a guy like Belichick wants a new challenge in life, and I don't know if that's now. It might be 3 years down. I don't know when that's going to be, but you just don't see coaches stay with a team like the old days, like Tom Landry right. And Chuck Knoll, really anymore. So you never know if he just gets tired of being here, and some of the things he has to deal with here, takes a year off or so, and then puts himself out there for another job. I don't think it's going to be this year. I don't think he's going to say, well, I'm done. I'm just talking 3-4 years down the road, and then that's where you would insert McDaniels. Now, do you think that, you know, that's the guy?
Because, I think on this staff, he's the guy.
Nobody wants to replace Bill Belichick.
Right.
Nobody.
But on this staff.
You don't want to be the guy that replaces the guy.
I think he's the only guy. I don't think there's another guy that Mr. Kraft could turn to. I think because of how quickly Josh has come about, the young coaches in the league, that's part of it. We talked about it a little bit this week on PFW in Progress. Maybe this is becoming a young man's league for coaching because of the rigors and everything that goes with being an NFL head coach. And the other one I fixate on is the Brady relationship. Whoever comes in here, I think, has to get the stamp of approval from Tom Brady. You don't want to upset the franchise. You don't bring in a guy who Brady goes, I don't really like that guy. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be a big positive in Josh McDaniels'
favor. At the same time, though, you can't necessarily let yourself get caught up into it's got to be Brady's guy. You know, I'm not saying that you go out and you get a guy. Well, then
Brady's only got a few more years left himself.
Exactly, and I think that.
Well, let's be honest. Every head coach in the NFL, in all likelihood, you're not getting another Belichick. The guy you hire now, you're going to enter the treadmill that is the NFL, and you'll be firing in 3 years.
I understand that, but if you think that McDaniels is a good coach and Brady likes him, by all means, that's a better reason to bring him aboard than just you kind of had a good vibe by him.
Well, I think McDaniels is a very good coach. No, I think he's got a chance to be a very good head coach.
But no one knows absolutely at all what kind of a head coach he could
right.
be. I mean it's impossible.
Right.
My point is, if Brady didn't like him, then sure, why would you want to bring a guy intentionally that you know your quarterback doesn't like? I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But I think you can get in trouble by catering to your star. And I think that's happened in the past here, quite frankly, with other guys. And I don't necessarily think that you can do it strictly based on that.
Well,
but again,
I don't think you make any decision. I mean, it's not like you pick a guy off the street and you go, hey, you're Tom Brady's best friend. Well, you're the new head coach. I mean, he's a pretty good coach. He's risen up the ladder under the greatest coach of the generation.
I just don't. I don't know. I don't know anything about McDaniels. I don't know what kind of coach
I think
he is.
He's a good coach. And I think all I need to know is, if you think Bill Belichick knows something about great football and great football coaches, he's promoted him quickly from a nobody to offensive coordinator. That tells me, if Bill likes him, I feel pretty good about him.
I'm just with Paul. I'm surprised that he wouldn't want to get the experience of the interview, because I know they they put the Rooney Rule in so more minorities could at least get the experience of interviewing. That way, if they have another interview, they're kind of prepared. Like we said, maybe he is here to being groomed to replace Bill, but if that doesn't happen, a team like the Cowboys or the Steelers or someone comes calling, you would want to be prepared for that. So I think maybe even in the future, going out and just getting an interview or two might help.
Well, I definitely think he would benefit from interviewing, but maybe he really is a baby Bill and he's got the blinders on and tunnel vision, and I can't be bothered with that at this time. I know it'd be great for him, but I can't be bothered.
Is there any chance that maybe McDaniels looked at how quickly the relationship between Mangini and Belichick deteriorated and said, let me try to go about this in a different way?
Could be. Certainly
maybe.
Could be. Certainly.
Now you're saying Bill holds grudges?
I don't buy that for a minute. No, and there's no tie-in. I've talked about this in the past. Mangini had a tie to New York with Tannenbaum. He had a relationship. So at least if he kind of burnt one bridge, at least he was building a bridge with somebody else.
Right.
He tied together with another decision maker in the National Football League. You know, just to burn a bridge with Belichick to go work with the Ravens, there's no real tie-in.
And when I say that, I understand that there were a lot of other factors that led to the bad relationship between Mangini and Belichick, other than just the fact that he left. We know it's much deeper than that and much deeper than New York. But I'm just saying that maybe McDaniels looked at that and said, well, maybe, you know, I'm 31 years old, I have plenty of time, and I think you actually made a really good point about this earlier on PFW Progress, Andy. His stock is only going to increase.
Right.
You know, he's going to put himself in a position potentially in 2 years to be able to go and do whatever he wants. So,
and maybe he doesn't like the two jobs. I mean, I think Atlanta's about to give me a call. I think nobody wants that job. And then he might look at Baltimore and just say, that's not the place for me.
Right.
So he might not want those jobs.
Yeah, no question. And Adam Schefter, who's a pretty informed insider in the NFL, speculates there could be 8, 9, 10 jobs open next year. So if you're Josh McDaniels, and even if you don't have the pick of the litter, because Bill Cowher might have the pick of the litter.
Right.
But if you're picking among 6 jobs instead of 2,
right.
Well, there's a better chance you're going to find the ideal situation for you.
Yeah.
But for Patriots fans, the bottom line is they're not for now going to lose their offensive coordinator, not yet another assistant. I mean, it would have been the 4th assistant coach in 4 years they would have lost, with Mangini, Weiss, and Crennel preceding them.
Yeah.
So, you know, a little bit of continuity here, moving forward, it would seem like, based on this information.
Andy, you know that Arthur Blank was going to call Tom until he had that West Virginia-Oklahoma pick. And
that's true.
That's it. He's
out.
It.
That's true. He's had enough trouble with people gambling that work for his franchise. Already got hurt that way. Bethel Johnson in town, according to the Reese's Pieces blog, which we all know is always very accurate, in town to visit with the Patriots. What do you make of that, Paul Perillo?
I wasn't aware of it, so I have nothing to make of it.
Tom, were you aware of it?
Yes, I read it this morning, actually, and it's a just kick returner.
I would say that's the only thing he's ever really done. I mean, he had a couple long passes, but he was a pretty good kick returner.
Isn't Hobbs good at that?
But we've seen him come out, get banged up, come out, miss a couple where Falk and Welker. So I wonder if he's got a lingering thigh injury hamstring injury, and they're just making sure if we get to a week and we need a kick returner. Can we turn to Bethel and just say return?
I like Bethel Johnson. I wasn't here with him long, but he says a lot of stupid things.
Oh,
I wouldn't mind having him back in the locker room.
Oh, yeah. A lot of confidence and a lot of dumb quotes coming out of that guy.
Do you think there's any chance that they sign him?
Just to return kicks, maybe, if they get into, because I think he's a pretty good kick returner.
Well, I think he was an excellent kick returner, but I think that you have as Tom pointed out, I think you have other people that can do that, and I don't really think you have the luxury of a roster spot.
But do you have other people that can be impact kick returners?
I mean, I don't see why.
Because if Hobbs is hurt, I don't know how good I'd feel about putting Maroney out there at this point. If I can just sign a guy that I think can have an impact, I have a roster spot.
Maroney hasn't done it all year, even though he's done it in practice all year.
Right.
But he was very good at it last year. Welker hasn't done it much. He's always been a better punt returner than kick returner, but he could do it. Kevin Falk can do it. I just don't think it's really worth it.
Those two guys, I think, can get to the 20, and then they'll fall
down.
But
I don't think it's worth a roster spot. I mean, even Willie Andrews could do it. I mean, he's had a couple of opportunities.
I would have no problem doing it because I think he can be an impact kick returner, and I don't think roster spots are that tight at this point. So I would have no problem with it. That doesn't mean they're going to. They might just be, dotting their I's and crossing their T's here. One final note, the postseason awards are coming through, and the Associated Press, which originally had scheduled on January 12th, to announce their Coach of the Year, moved it up a little over a week and announced last night after the Boston Herald had kind of rained on their parade and done a survey and found out Bill Belichick, National Football League AP Coach of the Year, second time he's won the award.
Bam, I got it.
He got it. 2003, he got it, and this year he got it despite Spygate, despite some people holding grudges against him because of Spygate and the way he handled that.
29 votes.
29 first-place votes. Mike McCarthy finished second. Romeo Crennel...
Didn't get a vote.
Fred Kirsch, right again. Not so much Romeo.
I said that to him yesterday, by the way. I walked in his office and said, Fred, I was wrong. You were right. Romeo Crennel did not get a vote.
But Bill Belichick, obviously well-deserving. I don't see how... I mean, I guess if you hate him, you can not vote for him. But the AP had to give the Coach of the Year award to Bill Belichick, in my mind. Just had to.
I don't see how you can reward 16-0. Never happened before.
I don't care
what kind of expectations you had. That's a great coaching job.
And to close this out, we have no injury report. Will be no injury report released this week. They practice Thursday, practice Friday, but because they're not playing, no injury report will go out. They'll have the weekend off, and then Monday they'll start preparing for either the Titans, Jaguars, or Steelers. Says here, I think, unanimously, it'll be the Jaguars?
Steelers for me.
Steelers, Tom?
Steelers, big.
Oh, okay. So I'll be the only one right as we talk to you next week as the Patriots head into a divisional round matchup hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. Until then, back to Lori.
Thanks, guys. Join us again next Friday for a brand new Ross Report podcast. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com. Worship.